Grenfell 2 years on, still fighting for safety and justice. Paul Kershaw, Chair, Unite Union Housing Workers Branch. 2 years ago, on the 14th of June 2017, 72 people perished in the Grenfell Tower fire in West London. The capitalist press expressed outrage when Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell rightly described it as social murder. But the loss of life was caused by profit-seeking cuts, and an institutional contempt for working-class residents. It was not some unpredictable natural catastrophe. For the bereaved and local people, the grief and shock continue. It has become increasingly clear that the factors that led to Grenfell are far from unique. Similar risks exist nationwide, as shown once more by the fire at Barking Riverside on the 9th of June. Amid tears of self-pity, the SAMA used her resignation speech to claim credit for a caring response to the disaster. Her comments were dramatically at odds with the mood of those affected. She claimed her office was a platform to give a voice to the voiceless, to fight the burning injustices that still scar our society. She added that it is why I set up the independent inquiry into the tragedy at Grenfell Tower, to search for the truth so nothing like it can ever happen again, and so the people who lost their lives that night are never forgotten. The residents group Grenfell United responded that it is harder to think of a greater injustice than Grenfell. They pointed out that, 2 years after the fire, the government has failed to deliver housing reform, failed to make people safe in their homes, and made the last 2 years a battle for the bereaved and survivors. The fire exposed again the class chasm in society, and the callous incompetence of the capitalist state at a local and national level. It also tested the workers' movement. We should seriously consider the strengths and weaknesses revealed. Them and us in the immediate aftermath of the fire, the local council was almost absent from the relief effort, reflecting the impact of years of cuts. There was an enormous outpouring of solidarity as community groups sprang into action and volunteers from all over London travelled to North Kensington to help and bring donations. Trade unions also organised collections. The SAMA visited, but avoided meeting local people, provoking outrage by just seeing officials. In contrast, Jeremy Corbyn met volunteers and local people. A typical comment picked up in the mainstream media was that Corbyn came here and walked around as if he is one of us. That's how it is. That's why he has been so successful. Because he is one of us. Independent, the 16th of June 2017. Wellsprings of support for Jeremy Corbyn and the anti-austerity policies he was associated with were revealed. May promised that people displaced, who, as she said, often had nothing, would be rehoused within 3 weeks. In fact, progress has been agonizingly slow, stretching over years, despite the local area being one of the richest in Europe with more than enough empty homes to house families. Official figures showed at least 1,652 homes as completely empty in the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. But even these figures play down the scare of housing being used as an investment, as safe deposit boxes for the rich, because they exclude homes occupied for part of the year. Housing charity Shelter estimated in August 2017 that over 10% of homes across the borough were kept empty most of the year. When Jeremy Corbyn raised the idea of requisitioning empty homes to help displaced residents, he got an enormous response. Socialist Party members campaigning in the area in the days after the fire were left with no doubt that the mood was intensely political. Local people queued up to take our leaflets and welcomed what we said supporting Corbyn and calling for election. Comments to the effect that they can find the money for wars, but not for us, were common in the discussions that followed. Fighting for safety, the Socialist Party put out campaign materials straight away to assist any group of residents who wanted to organize for safe housing in the aftermath of Grenfell. This could have been the start of a massive, sustained campaign. The capitalist press responded in horror to the suggestion of requisitioning because it challenged sacred property rights. They sensed the danger in popular anger being linked to radical demands. Labour should have pressed on with demands that empty homes must be used for the homeless, and have added that council cuts, which laid the basis for heightened fire risk, should be reversed immediately, so vital safety work could begin as rapidly as possible. blocks around the country face similar dangers to Grenfell. It was entirely possible that a Grenfell-like fire could have occurred in a Labour-controlled authority. The Barking Fire has demonstrated that point. Across the UK, the flammable cladding that played a major role in the Grenfell Tower fire was found on nearly 500 buildings, around 170 of them private residential blocks. It has since emerged that other types of cladding are also unsafe. Even now, few of the blocks with Grenfell-style cladding have been fully made safe. Recommendations to install sprinklers in high-rises, dating back at least to the inquiry into the 2009 Lakenall House fire in South London, and repeated since Grenfell, have been widely ignored by landlords and politicians. A standoff between government and private owners, each expecting the other to pay up, has left tenants and leaseholders stuck in the middle, with neither government nor freeholders wanting to foot the bill, waiting for the other to blink first. Unsurprisingly, there are reports that consequent anxiety is having a terrible impact on the mental health of residents. Imagine how things could have developed if Labour had committed to reimburse councils that carried out vital life-saving work, not waiting for a general election. Industry Journal Inside Housing reports that Labour has now called for the remaining 150 blocks to demonstrate substantial progress towards removing the cladding by December or face confiscation. They have had 2 years, confiscate them now, get the cladding off. The Institute for Fiscal Studies calculates that local government spending on housing has been slashed by half over the last 8 years. If Labour councils had started safety work on the back of mass campaign and build the government, they would have won enormous support. In the context of perhaps the weakest Tory government ever, such a campaign would have been an irresistible force. Of course, if the leadership had set a fighting, anti-austerity course, based on the potential power of the organized working class, it would still in the end have faced ferocious opposition, not just from the landlords, bosses and Tories, but also from the Labour right. The pro-capitalist wing of Labour remains dominant in the party's power structures, including local government. In order to properly respond to Grenfell, the Labour leadership would have to be prepared for a fight with the Blairites. Residents around the country often did not know how safe their homes were. Local authorities are subject to freedom of information law, so have to provide that information when demanded. Housing associations, which now manage most social housing, are considered private bodies and not covered by that law. Many associations initially refused to share fire risk assessments with residents, despite the recommendation of the state's official information commissioner that they should proactively make them available. Most, not all, now do when demanded, but not proactively. Grenfell residents had raised fire concerns over years, but had been ignored or even threatened with legal action by their landlord. Many social landlords appear to continue to make the same mistakes as the Grenfell landlord, the misnamed Kensington and Chelsea Tenant Management Organisation. Residents control when the Tory Lib Dem coalition government came to power in 2010, the social housing regulator, which even then had a limited role, was restricted further. Now it narrowly focuses on finance, protecting the private investors that housing associations rely on, not their residents. This was part of the coalition's notorious bonfire of the quangos. Reforms would be welcome, but we cannot rely on state regulators. Social landlords must be made truly accountable through public ownership and democratic control by residents and housing workers. Instead of operating like commercial property companies focused on investors, they should be fully funded by social housing grant, as in the past, and be open and accountable to residents and communities. If tenants vote to change their landlord, they should be able to move to council control. A sense of being ignored and abandoned is prevalent among tenants. Jeremy Corbyn and the trade unions should respond by acting as their voice. But this will mean being prepared for a decisive break with the pro-capitalist wing of Labour. A socialist programme for safe homes after Grenfell